You can be seated and go to 2 Timothy 3 if you have your Bible. If not, you can use the church Bible, and page 1239 will take you right there to 2 Timothy chapter 3. While you're doing that, while you're turning, I'm going to bring up the mission of our church on the screen here behind me. And the mission of our church is 13 words right there. Boom. Crossroads mission is loving Jesus and loving others by learning the Bible and living the Bible. It's very simple, but so profound in many ways. That's what we've been called to do, Jesus said, is love the Lord with all your heart, right? So that's number one, loving Jesus, right? Say that with me, loving Jesus. Number two is what? Loving others. Love your neighbor as yourself. How's that going to happen? Well, it's going to happen as we learn the Bible and then we obey it and we live it. And like we said last week, or 2 weeks ago actually, when we studied this, is that we all have areas of our lives that we struggle with. We all have areas of our lives that we know we need to change. And I did not get an amen. All right. Everybody's like, really? We do? Maybe you do, but I don't. How many of you have an area that you struggle with? Be honest. We're all human. God loves you right where you're at. He loves you, but He loves you too much to leave you there. And God wants you to grow and change. And the Bible is the catalyst for life change. It's not just a theological book. It is a life-changing book. Why is that? Well, there's a couple reasons we talked about. It's in your hand out there for review, but we talked about these already. And that is, the Bible is a holy book. Look at verse 15, 2 Timothy 3:15. He said, Timothy, from a child you have known the holy scriptures. Holy scriptures. Holy means of divine origin. That's why we call it God's Word. We call it the Holy Bible. Because what that speaks of, the fact that it is a divine book. It's of divine origin. It's God's Word. The second thing we looked at is that the Bible is life-changing because it leads us to salvation from our sins. Look at verse 15. He says, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. He said, which are able, the Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You know, salvation, is there anything more important than to know for sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die? There's nothing more important than that. That's why we're here. If you're here today, and if you died today, and you're not sure you go to heaven, you do not need to put your head on your pillow tonight and worry about that. I want you to know, this is your GPS. Do y'all remember that? This is your GPS. The Bible is your GPS that shows you the way to heaven, shows you how to get there. And when the service is over, we always, myself and some of the pastors, we're hanging out in the hospitality room back here to my right. We would love the chance to just take the Bible, break it open, and show you what the Bible says about how to get to heaven, about how to know that heaven's your home, your sins are forgiven, that you're in a right relationship with God. It's your GPS to get you to heaven. The Bible leads us to salvation. But number three, the third reason why the Bible is a life-changing book is, number three, the Bible is true and dependable. The Bible is true and dependable. Now, it's hard to find anything today that's true and dependable. Has anybody else kind of ever had the feeling like things are different today, like they make things to break? Does anybody feel that way besides me? It's like, you know, my mom and dad had a refrigerator they bought when they got married in the 1950s. She literally gave it away in the 2000s, and it still worked. 50 years later, the fridge still worked, and she said she'd never had a service call on it. It's like, but now it's like they make things to break, and I don't know if you've experienced this. It's, if it has a one-year warranty, they make it to break down after 1 year and one day. And you call up and you're like, hey, you know, this is broke. And they're like, oh, that went out of warranty last week, sir, you know. And but I want you to know that there is something that you can count on day in and day out, and that's what you hold in your lap. That's the Bible. The Bible is true and dependable. Look at verse 16. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Do you know what inspiration means? It literally means God breathed, that God breathed out those words. And notice that what's the very first word of verse 16? All scripture. So you know what that means? That means that no matter where you break open the Bible, no matter where you break it open, you can trust it. Because it's God breathed and it's true. Now I know you've heard skeptics say this. It's not a novel thought. It's kind of their way of wanting to just sweep you under the rug and get rid of you quick. And they'll just make a blanket statement like, well, yeah, you talk about the Bible, about that. The Bible was just written by men. Really? Duh. Like, I didn't know that. Right? You know, I mean, of course it was. Of course God didn't drop a big giant arm down from heaven with a hand on it and pick up a pen and start writing it. Of course it was. Of course God used men to write the Bible. But the Bible teaches that men were used by God and were moved by God's Spirit to write God's words the way God wanted them written. I want you to look with me in your handout. Look at 2 Peter 1:20-21. It says, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of the Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy at any time was produced by the will of man, but holy men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Would you guys agree that's pretty clear how we got the Bible? And you know what? Not only is it clear, but it just makes good sense. You see, God made a decision years ago when he created man on the sixth day of creation. He gave man the governorship of the earth, the responsibility to govern the earth. So when God wants to do something down here, he always works through people. He works through men and women. He works through human instrumentality. So when God decided he wanted his word and his thoughts and his ways put down in writing, of course he used men, but the Bible says they were moved by his Spirit to write the words the way God wanted them. Give you an illustration. I'm right-handed, and my wife is left-handed. And they say opposites attract, and that's proof. Amen? And so let's say that I want to write a letter to my mom for her birthday, and I want to put it in her card, you know. But let's say that my right hand is broken and it's in a cast and I can't write. What if I dictated to Denise and she wrote every word just the way I told her to? And I even watched over her shoulder to make sure that she got it just right. Who would be the author of that letter, her or me? I would. Absolutely, because it's from my heart. It's my thoughts, my words. Let me ask you something. After I dictated it to her and she wrote it, would it be dishonest for her to sign my name, Dan, at the bottom? Of course not. It's my letter. It's my thoughts, my words, my heart. And that's exactly what God did when God wanted his thoughts, his commands, his instructions, his heart basically put in writing. That's what God did. He used men, but he's the author. And when the Bible speaks of inspiration, it doesn't mean it in the same way that we think of it. I feel inspired. I think I'll write a poem. I feel inspired. I'm going to write a song. No, biblical inspiration is the supernatural influence of the Holy Spirit on the Bible's writers, which guaranteed that what they wrote was accurate, trustworthy, and perfect. Let me give you a couple definitions that'll help clear this up in your handout there. Two definitions. The first one is revelation. What's revelation? Revelation is the communicating of truth to man by God. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said in Galatians 1, he said that the gospel I preach, he said, I didn't get it from man. Listen, he said, the gospel I preach, I didn't get it from man. He said, I received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, I was not taught it by man. I didn't receive it. I was taught and received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation is the communicating of God's truth down here to man. Now, next definition. Inspiration has to do with the recording of this communication in a way that's dependable. So revelation is God giving his truth to man. Inspiration is God making sure that man records it right. Let me say that again. Some of you are looking down. Revelation is God giving the truth to man. Inspiration is God making sure that they wrote it down correctly. Are you with me? All right. So that means because all scripture is given by inspiration of God, he's there making sure that it's right, then that means that whatever the Bible says about itself, whatever the Bible says about God, whatever the Bible says about angels, about mankind, about life and death and eternity, heaven, hell, history, science, eternity, whatever the Bible says about those things are absolutely true. Why? Because the Bible was given by inspiration of God. When the Apostle Paul, who, by the way, was a very smart, intelligent, learned, educated man. Paul was nobody's fool. He wrote 13 books of the Bible. Paul had the very best teaching that you could get in that day in the Roman Empire. He had a supreme education. He was extremely brilliant and educated. And the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, Timothy, the scriptures are holy and inspired. Paul had absolute confidence in his Bible, and you can too. In your handout, it says, you can trust your Bible. You can trust your Bible.
But my professor at college said,
you can trust your Bible.
But my friend said,
you can trust your Bible.
But I read on a website,
you can trust your Bible. Okay? God knows more than all of them. And God gave his word. Let me ask them, if God went to all the trouble of giving his word and revealing it to man, do you think God would make sure it got wrote down right? I think so. So you don't have to worry about that. And that's what inspiration is. And that's what he means when he says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Is that when God gave it to man, just like if I was to dictate to my wife a letter, when God gave it to man, God made sure it was written down correctly. His word was right. And so that's inspiration. So that's another reason why the Bible is life-changing, is because it's true, it's dependable, like so few things in life. And then number five is this. Number five, the fifth reason why the Bible is life-changing is, number four, is that the Bible is profitable. I want you to write that in there. The Bible is profitable. I want you to look at verse number 16. Verse number 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable. When you invest money, you expect a profit. When you start a business, you want to see a profit. When you, listen, you want your time, you want your money invested to result in a profit. Well, when you spend time studying the Bible, when you spend time reading and studying this book, you can expect profit. Not monetary profit, but spiritual profit in the development of you as a person, which is then going to show up in your character and in the quality of your daily relationships. As you study the Bible, it's going to help develop you. There's going to be profit. It's going to develop you as a person in your character, and it's going to help you in your everyday relationships. The Bible is a life-changing book because there's so much to be profited from in the Bible. 1 Timothy 4 talks about how bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. And what that simply means is that whatever you do for your body, that's going to be short-lived. The benefits to that will be negligible. Because you know what? No matter how great you think your body looks, it's going to get old. And it's going to get sick. And it's going to die unless you get run over by a team of hogs. Amen. I mean, you're going to get old, sick, and die. I mean, everybody does. That's kind of the way most people go. You get old, you get sick, you get... Well, guess what? You know what? What happens to your body gets left behind. But guess what? Isn't it great to know as a Christian, your soul and spirit inside your body is absent from the body, present with the Lord. So that means your soul and spirit are going to live on up there. Whatever you do to help your soul and spirit, that's going to go with you to heaven. Your soul and spirit goes up there. So whatever you're investing in your soul and spirit through the Bible, that goes with you. Your body gets left behind. It's going to decay. Maybe it gets cremated. Maybe the ashes get spread over the ocean. I don't know. But I just know your body is going to be left here. Your soul and spirit's going to be with Jesus. And so would you agree with me that that makes sense? Bodily exercise is going to profit little, because ultimately, that's going to be short-lived. Your body's going to be left behind, but your soul and spirit, which you feed through the Bible, that's going to go with you for all eternity. That's profitable unto all things, the Bible says, here and there. That's going to help you here and there. So how do I learn about godliness? How do I learn how to be more like God? Well, where else? God's Word. He reveals Himself right here. And the Bible says, look at verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable for what? Notice this. Number one, he says it's profitable for doctrine. Do you know what that is? That's your belief system. That's your worldview. And the Bible will give you a worldview that is correct and that is in line with God's thoughts. Did you know that people out there is a battle raging right now for control of your mind and your thinking processes? And did you know that everyone out there wants to influence you toward their worldview? Your friends want you to have their worldview. Your professors want you to have their worldview. News channels, they got their own worldview. Websites, they got their own worldview. And everybody wants to influence you towards the way they look at the world. Guess what? None of that really matters. All that matters is what God thinks about the world. All that matters is how God views the world. And the way that you get a right worldview, a right doctrine, is you study the Bible. This will give you doctrine. It'll give you the right worldview. Then look at the second thing. He says it's profitable for doctrine. He said, number two, it's profitable for reproof. Do y'all know what reproof is? Reproof. Okay, let me illustrate. Have you ever had to reprove your children and express disapproval of their actions? I know they look like angels, but they're not. They are not angelic beings, right? When you reprove them, you're expressing disapproval of their actions. Well, guess what? Does the Bible convict us, and does the Bible show us things that are not right in our life? That's reproof. God disapproves of these things, and then that convicts us. And we're like, ooh, wow, yep, that's wrong. What I'm doing there, that's wrong. And it convicts us. That's good. Because the next thing, what's the next thing on the list? He says the Bible's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and then what's the next one? For correction. Now, correction, what God has to reprove, He then helps you to correct it. If all you do is ever tell your kids how they're wrong, that's not going to help them. You know, yes, you have to tell them when they're wrong, but would you agree then we need to show them the right way? Show them what's good. That's correction. See, the Bible reproves, but then it corrects. When you're typing, I don't know about you, but I love autocorrect when I'm typing. You know, if I spell the, because I'm typing fast, T-E-H, you know, it'll just make it T-H-E because it knows what I'm trying to do, and it'll just correct it, and I can keep right on going. I don't have to do a thing. I love autocorrect. You know, it's awesome. You got to be really careful with that when you're texting. It will autocorrect things that don't need to be corrected that way. But autocorrect's great. Just fixes your mistakes. Don't you wish they'd come out with a spiritual autocorrect for our personal lives? Well, the Bible is profitable for correction. You see, the Bible doesn't just point out the negative. It will show you how to correct what's wrong in your life. It's not autocorrect, but it'll show you how to correct your actions and attitudes. Then it's up to you whether you'll submit and cooperate with what the Bible says. It's kind of like when I'm typing in Outlook, I'm typing an email. Sometimes what it'll do is it will just underline a word and it won't autocorrect it because it underlines it because it knows it's not right but really doesn't have a clue what I'm trying to say anyway. So it'll just kind of underline it like, you need to go look at that, you know. But then I discovered something kind of cool. You can right-click on that word, and then it'll give you choices over here for what it thinks you are trying to spell to help you. And then you can choose whatever word on the list, and boom, it'll correct it. That's more like the Bible. See, because the Bible isn't autocorrect, but the Bible is profitable for correction. In the sense that just like in that scenario, that takes a little effort, right? It's not autocorrect. I got to go up there. First of all, I got to care that the word is wrong and not just send it that way. So I got to care that it's wrong. Then I got to go up and I got to right-click it. And then I got to look at the choices and then I got to make the right choice. And that's more like the Bible. The Bible, as you study it, it's going to show you how to correct things in your life. And then you have to decide whether or not, first of all, you care enough, you know, to even seek to want to make it right, but then to make the right choice, which is what the Bible shows you how to do. Look at the last thing there, verse 16. He says, the Bible is profitable for instruction in righteousness. In other words, the Bible will teach you what is right. How many of you have ever struggled with knowing what is the right thing to do? You ever struggle with that? What's the right thing to do here? The Bible helps you to know what is right. How to think, how to act in accordance with God's thoughts, God's ways. So let's review what we learned about the profit of the Bible. I'm going to bring it on the screen. It's in your handout. Number one, the Bible is profitable for, let's bring it up, say it with me, what? Doctrine. Doctrine is what is right. That's the right worldview. That's the way God thinks about things. Doctrine is your belief system. So the Bible is profitable to give you a right belief system. Doctrine is what is right. Number two, the Bible is profitable for, say it with me, reproof. That's what is not right. So the Bible will reprove you and show you what's not right in your life. We said number three, go ahead and bring it up. The Bible is profitable for what? Correction. That's how to get right. So the Bible will show you how to get things right in your life that are wrong. And then number four, let's bring it up. It says that the Bible is profitable for instruction in what? Righteousness. That's how to stay right. So you don't keep making the same mistakes. Instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. Isn't that good? So the Bible is profitable for doctrine, what's right, reproof, what's not right in your life, correction, how to get right, instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. Would you all agree the Bible is a profitable book? Is it profitable if it sits on your shelf all week? No. You have to study it. You got to get in it and read it. All right, let's go to the last thing. Number five, why is the Bible a life-changing book? Because the Bible equips us for service. Look at verse number, before we do that, I want to ask you this question. Are we saved and forgiven of our sins by our good works? No, look at the screen up here. It says on Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by what? By grace, you're saved. How? Through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. You won't be bragging in heaven that you got there because of your good works. No, it's by grace. It's through your faith in Jesus. Question, after you are saved and you come to know the Lord, does God expect good works from his children after they're saved? Yes, look in your handout at Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Do you know what that just said? It said you were created a new person in Christ when you got saved for the purpose of doing good works. God's word says that we should walk in them. You know what that means? That means that it should be a way of life. Walking in them means it's a way of life. So it's like, oh, okay, yeah, the Bahamas. Man, we're collecting stuff for the Bahamas. And you know what? I've been blessed. And I've got more than I need, and these folks have nothing. Yeah, of course I'm going to help. Why? Because God created me in Christ to do good works. It's a no-brainer. Now, if we don't have anything and we have no way to give, that's different. But if we have the ability, and God's blessed us with the ability, God says every man give according to his own ability. So if I have the ability to help these hurting people, of course I'm going to do that. Why? God created me in Christ to do good works. You know, the candy maze. We're going to have a day where we invite the community to come to this property. We're going to give kids the gospel. We're going to show the love of Christ. It's like, man, I'm healthy, I'm well, I can walk, I can talk. Of course I'm going to help. There's no brainer there. It's an opportunity to serve my Lord, serve people. Yes, I'm going to help with that, of course. You see, you were saved to serve. And that's one of the reasons God saved you and left you here on this earth. You ever wonder why when you got saved? You say, oh, Lord, I trust you as my Savior, Jesus, and I want you to come into my heart and life, save me, forgive me of my sins, take me to heaven when I die. And you say amen, and poof, you're gone. You're in heaven. You ever wonder why God didn't do that? Why God just didn't take you there the second you got saved? I'm going to tell you why he didn't. He left you here so you could serve and make a difference and your life could have an impact on somebody else. That's why he left you here. So that means every opportunity we can, if it's in our power to do it, we want to serve. We want to help. We want to do good works. Well, here's the thing, though. How does God prepare me to be able to serve him effectively? Look at verse 17. This is the last verse. All right, last verse we'll cover today. Look at verse 17. It says that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all. What's the last two words? You know what the context there is? This. All scripture. And he says the scriptures, that phrase throughly furnished isn't a phrase we would use today. All right, if we said, boy, that we wouldn't say, boy, that car, man, look at that car. It is throughly furnished. No, we would say it's fully equipped. We'd say, man, that car is loaded. It is fully equipped. And that's what it means. The phrase throughly furnished means that God fully equips us to do good works through his word. So as I study the Bible and learn the Bible, it equips me to do good works. It's like a policeman. They swear in a policeman, you know, a new policeman. What do they do after they swear him in? They furnish him. They equip him for service. They give him a uniform. They give him a badge. They give him a gun. They give him a car or a motorcycle. They can't expect him to do the job if they don't equip him with the right things. They don't just swear in a policeman and then say, okay, go be a policeman. You're sworn in. Go be a policeman. Well, do I get a uniform? No, your clothes you got on are fine. Do I get a car? No, your car will work. Just use your own car. Do I get a badge? Nah, you don't need it. No, they equip him to do his job. You know what? When you got saved, God doesn't say, okay, you're saved now. Go be a Christian. You're saved. Go be a Christian. No, thank goodness he doesn't do that. God equips us for service through his word. The Bible, it says in your handout, the Bible is not given to us to simply gain knowledge, but it's there for us in order for us to serve God effectively. The Bible equips you to serve God effectively. All right, before you put anything up, I want you to just, everyone, if you could, give me your attention for 2 minutes. I want to say this. How do we apply this? All right, here's how we apply it. And we're going to, hey, listen, we're going to end. The band's got a song they're going to do for us. It's going to go right along with the message. It's going to be awesome. So don't zone out. Don't go into the lunch or football mode yet, all right? There's still some time left in this service. So let's get this thing. Let's apply it. How do you apply it? Here's how you apply it. Okay, how do I learn the Bible? If there's so much profit in the Bible and it's inspired, it's God-breathed, and if it equips me, then the question is, how do I learn the Bible? And here's what I would say. Profound thought. Start reading it. Now, that's intimidating. Because sometimes people go to read it. There's 66 books. It's a thick book. Where do I start? I would recommend either start in the book of Mark. I know some people say John. Mark, though, is a very concise, very direct, very like event-driven type of book that'll show you the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, the book of Mark. Also, start reading Paul's books, which are this one, 2 Timothy, and then like the 10 books before that. That's all Paul's books. And you can start reading Paul's books because they're written directly to the church. And I would also say that if you have trouble, maybe someone was telling me after service that, man, my reading comprehension's terrible. And I would say, you know, I told you this a couple months ago, they've come out with an updated King James Bible called the Modern English Version, the MEV. Grab a hold of it. It's going to put it in the language we speak today. But start reading the Bible. Start reading the Bible. You know another thing you can do to get the Word in you and start learning it? Some of you didn't know this. If you go to our website, it's on the handout, crbible.com, CR for Crossroads, Bible.com, /, / sermon. It's going to bring you to an archive of 10 years worth of sermons. And they're all arranged so easy. You got 20 different books of the Bible I've taught through. You click on that book, it'll give you all the messages and studies in that book. You can listen, watch it. You also have 60 different sermon series that we've done here. Everything from marriage to parenting to how to resolve conflict. There's one called the 20 C's, the Bible from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, 20 words that all start with the letter C, and it takes you from beginning to end. Gives you an overview of the whole Bible. You can listen to those 20 lessons one by one and get a great overview of the Bible. Another thing you could do is join a Bible study group. We call them life groups. Get in a Bible study group. These are just some things that you can start doing right away to learn the Bible. Why? Because it's a life-changing book. Let's pray.